Our next speaker is an independent radiation specialist. She's worked in 46 countries as a professional geoscientist, an expert witness on depleted uranium weaponry at the International Criminal Tribunal for Afghanistan in Tokyo in 2003. She was recently appointed an expert witness on DU weaponry for the Canadian Parliament. She's published on exotic weapons, including HAARP, weather modification, tectonic warfare, mind control, fourth-generation nuclear weapons, and scientific issues related to 9/11. Please join me in welcoming Lorraine Morey.
Good evening, and I'd like to really thank Jim Fetzer and Kevin Barrett for organizing this conference, and to welcome all of you. And this has been a really, really nice visit to Madison, too. So I'd like to start with a poem. I collect poems from communities where I talk, and I carry them to other communities, and I'd like to read them to join all of you in hearts and minds. And also, spirituality is essential to open people up to hear the very difficult truths that I've been telling around the world about the impact of nuclear technologies on public health and the environment. So this is by Galen in Hilo. I've started in uranium uproar in Hawaii that's not going to stop. The Pentagon has their panties in a bind over it. It's too late. It's out of control. And it was really fun to do it. I'm a naughty scientist. This is called Poem for Lorraine. They're poisoning us with deadly dust, imprisoning us with rigorous rules, invading us, injecting us, crushing us into non-existence. She came with an offering of help and healing. Having seen the tragedy in its culmination, the deformed hands of lives interrupted by forces of darkness out of control. In the horrible heartache, she cracked the code of an agenda bent on obliteration, a course of certain disintegration. And of course, she screamed, "No!" With her curious couplet of science and love, her 2 feet pointed toward the truth. She set herself on a path of confronting the menace of days and murderers of many. Threatened, harassed, and beaten down, a spark within her pulled the lever. Everything good came pouring through, and hope got a shot at forever. And I've worked in 2 nuclear weapons laboratories. I had no idea what I was doing there. I'm a geoscientist. It was just a job. And I worked at the Livermore Nuclear Weapons Lab from 1989 to 91. And I had absolutely no idea what a nuclear bomb was. It was just something they made there. And all the guys would gather around each new model and talk about it like a new car. It was ridiculous. But in the year 1991, I became a whistleblower at Livermore, and I survived the Karen Silkwood experience. I want to tell you the culture of the nuclear weapons laboratories. It's a brotherhood of death. It's a cult of death. It's the weirdest place and the weirdest people. It's the deepest dishonesty and disrespect for the life force in all living things. And I feel so lucky to be here tonight talking about it and informing you. And also giving you ways to stop it. Now, Gandhi said something that I think about all the time. He said, as human beings, our greatness lies not so much in being able to remake the world that is the myth of the atomic age, as in being able to remake ourselves. And that's the key. It's remaking ourselves. It's something we can do. And we can make a difference. And I'm going to show you the video now that started the bonfire in Hawaii. I went to Hawaii in October, and I started a depleted uranium bill movement in state legislatures because it was a total cover-up since 1991 in Congress, in the Pentagon, and in the executive office. And I said, there's got to be a way to push up from the bottom, and I believe grassroots is the only way to go. And so I went in October, and there had been like 27 bills introduced in state legislatures already in 2 years. And I said, oh, do you know that Hawaii has the highest rainfall, rainout of radiation from bomb testing in the world? And they said, nah, we don't believe you. And I said, well, they measured it 15 miles north of Hilo, and we're in Hilo right now. And I had a letter to Nature from the AEC to prove it. And then I said, and by the way, all the bombing and gunnery ranges in Hawaii are contaminated with depleted uranium. They've been using it since the 1940s. And they said, we don't believe you. And I said, well, have you heard about the 800 concentration camps all over the U.S.? They said, baloney. And I said, well, it's too late. I put a Velcro patch on your brain, and it's going to start sticking from now on, and you're going to inform yourselves. I came back in January. They were hopping mad. They said, not only were you right about everything you told us, but it's even worse than you told us. And we found out our own Senator Inouye was covering up for Oliver North building concentration camps during Iran-Contra. And we have one at the Hilo Airport and one at the Honolulu Airport, and now they want to build another new big prison on the big island of Hawaii. What do? We've got 3 DU bills in the legislature. They all failed. I went back for March and April. I went and testified, and there was no way they were going to pass. So I got a Geiger counter and flew to the big island, and I started measuring radiation levels, and you won't believe it, I got a huge hit. I called Honolulu, flew back to Honolulu, and Dick Allgaier at KITV had heard me on a radio program, an interview with Jeff Rentz in November. He said, I'd love to do a story on you. So this is it, April 29th and 30th in Honolulu. What I'll tell you about is all the conferences I've been to in other countries on 9/11. People around the world are people around the world are extremely interested, probably more interested in 9/11 than any other U.S. events. So I went to the Tokyo to the first international 9/11 conference in Tokyo in October. And they sold out their tickets, 650 tickets, and 250 more people showed up at the door. They had to sit on the floor between the stage and the audience. And we had Al Jazeera and all kinds of media coverage. CNN was even there from all over the world. So it's actually much easier to get media coverage and to do events in other countries than it is here. And then I went to Italy. They're crazy about 9/11 in Italy. And I have articles from all over the world in different languages that I brought to show people.
Some activists claim the U.S. Army is firing depleted uranium on gunnery ranges in Hawaii, contaminating the state with radioactive fallout. They recently took Geiger counter readings downwind from Pohakuloa on the Big Island. KITV's Dick Allgaier joins us live now with details. Dick?
Hi, Jill. The U.S. Army, of course, says it does not use depleted uranium rounds when it practices in Hawaii. But one activist says she took high radiation readings, which may indicate depleted uranium, recently on the Big Island. Lorraine Moray is a world-renowned expert on the subject of depleted uranium. She travels the globe giving presentations about the dangers of spreading nanoparticles of radioactive uranium through bombs and bullets.
It's not harmless. It's extremely toxic.
On April 22nd, she took Geiger counter readings in South Kona on the Big Island.
63. This is very, very alarming.
Normal background radiation would be 5 to 20 counts per minute. On this day, she says she took readings of up to 93, which experts say is abnormal and quite high.
That is horrendous. And it could only be because they were doing live fire with depleted uranium at Pohakaloa while we were doing the measurements.
Lorraine Moray claims the Army is using depleted uranium on the Pohakaloa firing range, and the wind is blowing radiation over South Kona. The Army insists it does not use depleted uranium in Hawaii. Dr. Lauren Pang is a public health official in Hawaii. In this interview, he says he is speaking only as a concerned physician.
Regardless of what it is from, it is hot. It has to be looked at. Now, furthermore, she went around the training area, and I guess it was high downwind of the firing range, which is kind of like a smoking gun.
All of the bombing and gunnery ranges are contaminated in Hawaii with depleted uranium already.
Now, there has been a bill at the legislature that would require testing for depleted uranium near targets at Schofield Barracks. The Army would not comment on that. Again, the Army and National Guard have said DU is not used in Hawaii. Reporting from the newsroom, Dick Allgaier, KITV 4, Island Television News.
Thank you. So what is happening is all the bombing and gunnery ranges around the U.S. are being sold for $1 to developers. Yes. And housing units and tracks are being built on them, and then I'm sure those builders and developers are donating huge campaign contributions to particularly the Republican Party. And in Hawaii, the native Hawaiians who have no status at all, they are not even registered like American Indians and given reservations and other opportunities to help themselves. They have no status at all. They're living on the beaches, homeless, thousands of them. And the old munitions are rolling up on the beaches, washing up. The military has dumped stuff overboard onto the seafloor. And there are bombing and gunnery ranges in almost every one of the islands. And now they know that they're all contaminated with depleted uranium. This issue and this little news story has gone all over the world. I just went to a conference in Vancouver with Alfred Weber, and there were cattle ranchers and videographers. People drove from three provinces just to talk to me. They want to do a Geiger counter movement. And in Hawaii, after the three bills failed, nothing better could have happened. It made all the citizens furious. I got them to buy Geiger counters. They plugged them into their computers, and they are now doing monitoring surveillance around the gunnery ranges, and the military can't shoot another depleted uranium bullet. It's totally... totally illegal. And I've got a pair of 45s strapped onto my hips. One of them is Major Doug Rocky, and the other one is Alfred Weber back there, because they gave me the info. They showed me how to use it, and now we're putting the military, science, and the law together, and there's no way around that. Don't ask me how this happens to me. It's all accidental, but it works really well because I never plan anything. And it's probably good that there's no advance warning to the other side. So, so what has happened in the U.S.? This is a fallout map of nuclear bomb testing at the Nevada test site. Everyone in the United States was internally contaminated if they were in the U.S. between 1957 and 63. All atomic and hydrogen bombs are loaded with depleted uranium used as tamping or as a neutron reflector around the tiny plutonium core that only weighs 20 pounds. And that means the main pollutant all through atmospheric testing was actually depleted uranium. It was completely hidden. Even Manhattan Project scientists have told me they didn't know. They argued with me and said, no, there's no depleted uranium in atomic bombs. And I said, yes, there is. And I found it in Gladstone's classic manual for the military on nuclear weapons. So I got involved with the depleted uranium issue in Hiroshima in the year 2000 and began investigating it. And then in 2001, 9/11 happened. And on that day, I called up a medical doctor named Dr. Jeanette Sherman, who lives 12 miles downwind from the Pentagon. She and I had just been doing a press conference in the Hunters Point Naval Shipyard, which is probably the most contaminated place in California. It's in South San Francisco. There's a black community who lives there. They're all dying of cancer and horrible diseases. And I knew she had a Geiger counter in her purse, so I said, Janet, get that Geiger counter out and start doing air monitoring. She called me back 2 hours later, and she said, my God, the radiation levels are 8 to 10 times higher than normal background radiation. I said, photograph it, document it, and I want you to call up the emergency responder agencies because all those people at the Pentagon and the World Trade Center are going to be contaminated with DU that is used as ballast in airplanes, commercial planes. And so 2 days later, a guy named Bellingham, I think his name was Bellingham, from the EPA Region 3 Radiation Office called back and confirmed the Pentagon crash site rubble was contaminated with radiation and it was probably depleted uranium. So then I began to get involved with 9/11, and I realized that there are many players involved with the World Trade Center. It's very complex. There are a lot of stakeholders, and that's why they want to keep the 9/11 movement focused on the World Trade Center. The Pentagon is the Achilles heel of 9/11. Exactly. There's no one else involved there except the military. It is most definitely the most protected building in the United States and probably in the world. And nothing can happen there without the complicity of the military. So I began working with Doug Brockie. He sent me photographs taken from a military helicopter shortly after the object hit the Pentagon. And I went, oh, my God, it's a bullet hole. It's a 12-foot-wide bullet hole. There's a bullet hole through the Pentagon. It's a kinetic energy penetrator. And he said, yeah, a cruise missile hit the Pentagon. I said, well, that's what the depleted uranium came from. There are DU warheads in cruise missiles. And that's what hit the Pentagon, I'm afraid to say. Doug had other confirmation. So what was the purpose of 9/11? The purpose of 9/11, number one, was to establish a domestic police state in the U.S., and it began with the Patriot Act. They established Homeland Security. Homeland Security was set up based on the Phoenix Program in Vietnam, which was the dry run Oliver North was doing the dry run in Vietnam for a police state in the U.S. And the CIA set up the Phoenix program with concentration camps, torture chambers, and all kinds of horrible things to destroy the civilian support of the Viet Cong resistance. And he illegally started FEMA, the Federal Emergency Military Agency. And he was even building concentration camps in the U.S. And what the Hawaiians found was a video clip of Inouye, Senator Inouye, sitting in the Oliver North Iran-Contra hearings in Congress. And the chairman said, well, Oliver North, don't you think that building concentration camps in the U.S. For American citizens violates the Constitution? And Inouye interrupted and said, let's not touch on this subject now. Let's address it later. If people are interested, we can hold an executive session, which, of course, would not be open to the public. And so that's what the Hawaiians were really mad about when they found out their own senator was very, very complicit in that. So the Patriot Act was passed. Homeland Security was set up. The concentration camps are built. Halliburton has built a lot of them. And there's a lot of stuff on the Internet about them. There are lists of them and where they are. And, for instance, the SeaTac Airport, Seattle-Tacoma Airport, has a huge FEMA fortress there. The U.S. is negotiating to build a railroad to through British Columbia up to Alaska. There's a very large concentration camp built up there. It's going to be the mental one. The concentration camps in Canada are built on the Indian reservations. So this is a reality, and we're teetering on the brink of dictatorship. I mean, I can't believe this is happening, but it is happening, and 9/11 was the kickoff excuse for this. They also used 9/11 to set up the Northern Command, a domestic military. This violates the Posse Comitatus Act of 1878, which said it was a Reconstruction-era criminal law proscribing use of Army and later Air Force to, quote, execute the laws, unquote, except where expressly authorized by the Constitution or Congress. In other words, the government cannot use the U.S. military to enforce laws against Americans. And this is where depleted uranium comes in. Why are we sending all of our National Guardsmen, who are basically our state militia, to these uranium wars overseas? After World War II, we had a 5% disability rate in our veterans. After Vietnam and Agent Orange, it was 10%. Since 1991, in the introduction of depleted uranium in Iraq, Yugoslavia, Afghanistan, and Lebanon, we have a disability rate of over 55%. It's a death sentence to send our people to these wars now. No one can come back and not be contaminated. It's the end of their lives. Yes. Yes.
Detect radiation. How do you know it's from depleted uranium and not some other source?
Well, for instance, on the Big Island of Hawaii, there's basically almost no agriculture. There's no industry. There's nothing there but the military. And we knew they were shooting depleted uranium live fire up at Pohakaloa. And I got the cancer map for the state of Hawaii. You get cancer within 2 or 3 or 6 months from depleted uranium. With other radiation exposure, it takes 20 years. Leukemia is sooner. It's cancer of the blood. That can happen in 10 or 12 years. But they're getting cancer within a couple of months, and they're coming home after a year with 4 golf ball-sized brain tumors in their brains, like the welders in Iraq, and they die within a week or two of coming home. So you have to look at the environment and determine what other contaminants are there. But ionizing radiation is 10 to 100 million times more damaging to organisms in their developmental stages, in other words, embryos and fetuses, than the strongest chemical, for instance, thalidomide. Yes?
I'll just relate this briefly. I have a grandson in the Marine Corps.
Uh-huh.
He's over there. He's supposed to be coming back stateside for a while. Before he left,
I would actually propose to my stepson's family for him to go and, you know, basically make a couple deposits in a sperm bank.
That's right.
And this story gets better. Yeah. And this story gets better. I was going to write a letter to Tammy Baldwin, whom I actually knew and worked with, and ask her. She's the only openly lesbian congressperson in the United States Congress. And just ask her basically to help protect his rights. And my grandson's parents, my stepkids, scuttled a letter. They just didn't want me sending it because they were so afraid that he'd get in trouble with the Marine Corps, that he'd have to report it, and he'd get in worse trouble for not reporting something.
He's in trouble because he's contaminated. These are the medical disability rates in the 2003 Iraq soldiers only as of August 2006. 87,590 muscular skeletal diagnoses. Look at that. And look at cancer. It's at the bottom of the list. No wonder the government admits cancer is caused by radiation, because they're hiding the elephant of chronic illnesses that are caused by radiation. This is happening all over the U.S. In fact, all during atmospheric testing, they release the equivalent of 40,000 Hiroshima bombs into the atmosphere. But they were injected high into the atmosphere and slowly mixed. What they're doing now is they have used the equivalent of 400,000 Nagasaki bombs since 1991. And they're just getting up into the storm areas, the troposphere, the highly energetic part of the atmosphere, where all the storms and rainfall and hurricanes are. In 2 weeks, what they're shooting over there, DU, is a radioactive poison gas weapon developed under the Manhattan Project. It's over here. We have increased diabetes in the U.S. since between 1980 and 2002 by 136%. This is depopulation. Agent Orange was about depopulation in Vietnam. They also wanted to grab the oil and set up the drug triangle. And this is, these are Henry Kissinger's own words. This is from a national security memo, April 24th, 1974. Dr. Henry Kissinger proposed in his memorandum to the National Security Council that, quote, depopulation should be the highest priority of U.S. foreign policy towards the third world, unquote. He quoted reasons of national security, and because the U.S. economy will require large and increasing amounts of minerals from abroad, especially from less developed countries. Wherever a lessening of population can increase the prospects for such stability, population policy becomes relevant to resources, supplies, and to the economic interests of the U.S. And according to an NSC spokesman at the time, the United States shared the view of former World Bank President Robert McNamara that the population crisis is a greater threat to U.S. national security interests than nuclear annihilation. It's of higher priority than our nuclear weapons program. In 1975, Henry Kissinger established a policy planning group in the U.S. State Department's Office of Population Affairs, and he, Brzezinski, Alexander Haig, and Ed Muskie wrote Global 2000, which was a plan that is being implemented now with global pollution from depleted uranium to eliminate 2 to 4 billion people on the earth.
Is that something that we can find in the
room? Yes. You can read it. Yes. Just Google it. Yeah.
I have tried.
I made this all up. Don't believe anything that I'm saying.
Of course not. Of course
I know you're getting upset, so.
Well, no.
I'll tone it down.
I tried to Google, what is it, Global Cleanse 2000?
Yeah. Global.
Is it Global Cleanse or Global?
It's
Global, Global 2000. Global 2000. It's depopulation.
Okay.
Yeah. And that was under President Carter. These are all Rockefeller contractors. The Rockefellers brought depopulation or eugenics to the U.S. in the 1920s. It came from Malthus in England in the 1700s. Yes.
I just want to make this point. I've heard these stories about the Global 2000 report many times.
Right.
But I also used the Global 2000 report in courses in the mechanical engineering department at the University of Minnesota many times in 1981, 2, 3, 4. And I'm telling you, it isn't at all like the stories that you had just described.
Okay, why have they bombed the entire atmosphere of the planet with 400,000 Nagasaki bombs if it wasn't deliberate?
I can't address that.
It's because the Carlyle Group made their first big pile of money off of depleted uranium.
All I'm trying to tell you is that I have used that report, read that report every word, and it doesn't say those things that you're saying now. I've also heard the stories that you're saying now and gone to track down. You know, is this possibly true? But it isn't consistent with the book that I have on my shelf at home, the Global 2000 Report to the President that was commissioned by Jimmy Carter.
That's
There's
right.
elements that has nothing to do with
I think you better. Yes, it yes it does, and you better read Kissinger a little more deeply and his Office of Population Policy in the State Department, and I'm not going to argue anymore. Thank you. Oh, it's impossible to say. It's in the air, it's in the food, it's in the drinking water.
If you're claiming all these effects, so if you're claiming a lot of effects from this dosage of depleted uranium, you should have, I would think you'd have some concept of the doses that people are being given.
Okay.
No.
You want to hit it? We'll hit it.
Hit what?
I did the research, did the work on it. It was excreted at 432 micrograms per liter of urine. That's over 1,200 per day. It's 5,000 times the permissible dose when I did my work. My team is, they got sick and they started dying within 2 years. We're talking about a lot. When you get into a vehicle, the concentrations, we got approximately 50 pounds of uranium inside less than probably 3 cubic meters. It's incredible doses. When the stuff goes down, when it goes over, it's absolutely incredible.
We
start doing the measurements,
we
find
it. Are you talking about Iraq, Doug?
Yeah. I mean, there were Iraq and everything else in the vest. When we look at the epidemiology coming back from Iraq with Dr. Ali and everybody else that's there. We've been all over the world. We've done it. One thing you have to understand, with the U.S. military, the deliberate order is supposed to do the testing within 24 hours of exposure. Military has never done it on me, and it's 16 years later. They've never done it on my team, and it's 16 years after the fact, and we were the primary team.
That's the military effect and the effect in regions that we've permanently contaminated with depleted uranium, which has a half-life of 4.5 billion years. It takes 10 half-lives, 4 billion years, before the radiation will diminish. There's the global effect. This is what's happening to you. That green line is cancer in Japan starting in 1899. Hiroshima and Nagasaki is the break in the line in the middle of that graph. And you can see that cancer started rising, cerebrovascular disease and heart disease started rising after 1945. Then they started nuclear power plants and the emissions replaced atomic bomb testing because they stopped it. And you can see since 1991
how cancer has increased globally from depleted uranium. Look at that. It's right there. Yes?
Would not the instigators and their agents and their families suffer the
same? Oh, they don't care.
They don't care about
No, they don't care.
Children.
Ask Doug. Do they care, Doug?
No, they don't care at all.
They don't care. They don't care.
No, that's
here is diabetes cases increasing globally. And you can see 1991 is where that huge peak starts at the end of the line. That is the increase globally in diabetes. And before 1945, diabetes was a very rare disease. And people died from it because there was no insulin. That's the global effect. That's what is happening to everyone in this room. I want everyone in this room who has diabetes or knows someone who has diabetes to raise your hand. If it's an epidemic, it's not genetic. Did you see all those hands?
Ms. Murray, type 1 or type 2?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
I'm not choosy. And I'm a tiny woman, but in India, I'm a giant woman. I want you to remember that. Yes. I can't hear you.
I would think the American people, the general public, would be shocked, if not taken aback, or reverse that, to know that the equivalent of 400,000 Nagasaki bombs have been dropped on Iraq.
I've been trying to tell them. Dirty bombs. 5,000-pound bunker busters. Well, now they have 30,000-pound ones that they're putting on B-2 bombers. A B-2 stealth bomber can carry two.
Okay, the weapons we absolutely know that are being used, and you have to understand, I did the research on most of these. Number one, we got 7.62 machine gun bullet for the M60 machine gun. We have the 50 cal Barrett rifle. Again, you go to the Barrett thing, he brags about how well the DU round works. We got the 50 cal machine gun. We have the 20 millimeter for the Navy Phalanx that shot all over even the coastal waters. Congressman Jane McDermott has total confirmation from the Coast Guard and the Navy. They do it all the time. I was there when he got it from the Admiral. We got the 25 millimeter in the Bradley fighting vehicle. That's a half pound of uranium. 20 millers, half pound. We got 30 millimeter, each one 3/4 pound. The A-10 fires it at 4,000 rounds per minute. That's 1.5 tons of uranium on target per minute. Then we go on up. We have the 105 millimeter. We have the 120 millimeter. We have the 125 millimeter. These use in the tanks, British, Israeli, Australian, U.S., and Canadian. In addition to that, we have the ATEM and the PTEM. These are cluster bombs. They are landmines. They are like a small landmine. The shell is all uranium. We got high explosives inside. It's absolutely incredible. Then what we go on to those beyond that, we have the GBU 28's 5,000-pound bunker buster. U.S. delivered hundreds of them to Israel for use in Lebanon. Total confirmed. They also use the cluster bombs. Total confirmation. We did the on-site measurements with other people over the phone while we were doing it. So we've got those continuous use. We've got the cruise missile and everything else. So during Desert Storm, we had approximately 375 tons released solid uranium. In the Balkans in 94 and 95, we had 30 tons. In the Balkans in 99, we had another 30 to 40 tons. We had in Japan and everything else in 95 and 96, an untold amount. We've continued on in Iraq. We got probably 2,000 pounds used of solid uranium, 1,000 tons in Afghanistan. They're using it all over the place. So we've got all of this stuff. When this stuff breaks up, it doesn't go anyplace. It's fine particulates. It goes over, inhales, ingested, absorbed rapidly. So that's what happened to all of us. We look at the epidemiology. We know from Desert Storm and everything else what we had. We know from Iraq and Gulf War II and Iraqi freedom, enduring freedom. All we got is immunizations. We got the uranium, and we got pesticides. So it's all cut and dry. On-site measurements and everything else. It's just there.
I only have 10 minutes left. But I'll stay up all night and answer your questions.
Yeah. Do you think that the dirt that she was talking about, all the dirt on the ground zero, was to round up the depleted uranium?
Okay, part of that deal is contamination. The procedures we wrote that I wrote for the U.S. Army under Army Regulation 700-48 in the pamphlet, what we do is specifically we can use that to absorb contamination. It's not just uranium, it's everything else. So you bring it in there, you get it absorbed, you get it bound together, then you shovel it up and use it bulldozer. If you use the Army procedures, U.S. Army technical manuals and stuff that I wrote, what we basically do is we have to go out and we take a bulldozer, go down to 6 to 8 inches of all the dirt, bring it up, take and properly dispose of it. And that's 100 meters radius around every single incident. It's incredible about what's required, and the Army totally disregards. When you look at contamination, especially a rail trade center, bam, it's a great idea. Bring the dirt in, bind up all the contaminants, you know, do a cap. That's why when we get a landfill, we cap the landfills, keep the contaminants from getting out and the water from getting in.
Doug?
And it just, it's great.
Thanks. Thank you. We'll stay and talk to you as long as you want. I just want to finish what I had to say about 9/11. So the Northern Command now has pulled in the NSA, CIA, DIA, NIMA, FBI, Department of Justice, State Police, Local Police, Homeland Security, and FEMA are all under the Northern Command now. Is this a police state? Is this fascism? Hello? This is what 9/11 instigated. And under Patriot Act 2, they can now arrest without any reason, imprison without charges, and detain indefinitely. Is this a police state? Wake up. Richard Burda. This is all about oil and resources. Richard Burda, who was the Western Regional Inspector at the Livermore Lab when I became a whistleblower, told me the nuclear weapons labs exist for the Pentagon and the Pentagon exists for the oil companies. And this is what Henry Kissinger said about oil. Oil is much too important to be left in the hands of the Arabs. It's our oil. It's not theirs. So, now, there was one more purpose for staging 9/11, and that was to establish a military presence in Central Asia. So we attacked Afghanistan. Our government has admitted Afghanistan had absolutely nothing to do with 9/11. Yeah, you bet it didn't. And guess what I discovered within the last 2 weeks on mining industry websites? Canada is the largest producer of uranium in the world. It produces 30% of the world's uranium, and almost all of it is used in U.S. depleted uranium weaponry, which is why Doug Rocky and I and Dr. Chris Busby in England have been appointed as expert witnesses on DU to the Canadian Parliament, because we're going to inform them in September. The Queen of England owns all the mineral rights to Canada and Australia. That's her uranium they're mining. This is the Queen's Death Star. And guess who is her business manager and who controls uranium prices and supplies globally? It's the Rothschilds. The Rothschilds own the nuclear industry through their contractors like the Rockefellers. Why is all of this happening? Why did we attack Afghanistan? Well, Kazakhstan will be outproducing Canada by 2012 in uranium output. And guess what? Afghanistan is also loaded with uranium. An Afghan told me, economist told me, the Soviets dug up a whole mountain of uranium ore in Afghanistan and sent it back in boxcars to Russia before they removed themselves from Afghanistan. This is all about mineral resources. And they want to depopulate. 75% of the depopulation is intended for third world countries. The depleted uranium has blown all over the Himalayas from Iraq, Afghanistan, Yugoslavia, and Lebanon, and contaminated all of the headwaters of the seven major rivers of Southeast Asia. And if you look at a global diabetes map, Pakistan and India have very high rates of diabetes because that stuff is also blowing all over northern India and Pakistan. Alfred and I just went to, as official diplomatic representatives in February, of former Prime Minister Mahathir of Malaysia. We went to the Indian government and intellectuals and ambassadors, and we got this all over in the newspapers, and boy, was Homeland Security and Livermore mad at us. Boy, oh boy.
You made a statement
that... No questions until I finish. I need to finish, please. Okay. But we'll answer all your questions. So, then I looked up what Americans did Queen Elizabeth give knighthoods to? Alan Greenspan, George Herbert Walker Bush, and she has three uranium knights that she knighted also. General Schwarzkopf for Gulf War I, General Wesley Clark for irradiating Yugoslavia, and General Colin Powell for Afghanistan. So if you want a knighthood, uranium is the way to get it. And this is what Henry Kissinger said. Who controls the food supply controls the people. Who controls the energy can control whole continents. Putin's playing that game very cleverly with Europe. And who controls money can control the world. So, it's Northern Command who will control the food supply in the U.S. And you will be obedient or you're not going to eat. And the big oil corporations will control the continents with the energy supplies. And the Rothschilds and the City of London and the Wall Street banking establishment will control the money supply. Thank you very much.
Lorraine Moray, ladies and gentlemen.